Well, good morning and welcome. I'm glad that you're here today. I want to welcome those who are watching online as well for our second week of the Hashtag Struggle series. I want to let you know that I sent out an email, especially to this campus last week. I've been sending out emails throughout this for all of Bridgewater, if you're watching online or if you're here. If you did not receive my email and you would like to receive emails, the reason we're saying that is because we gave you a process of saying, if someone ever tests positive for COVID-19, we will let you know at the campus level. And so if we don't have your email address, it may be hard for us to let you know. And so if you want to give us your email address, if you want to be informed of what's going on, I'd encourage you to stop by the Welcome Center at the end of the service and make sure you just give us your email address so you'll get any update of anything going on, okay? We're grateful for God's protection. Up to this point, through our watch parties, and at this point, we're just very grateful for it. I want to say along with Pastor Jeff is this. As we talk about this weekend, I'm one of those people, I know you're not supposed to say this, right? Like, apparently, it's a bad thing to say today, but I'm really glad that I live in America. And I'm extremely grateful for the freedom that we have to come together and to celebrate Jesus and to worship Jesus in freedom. And again, I understand we have a lot of complications going on in our society today. I get it, right? And I'm not just over like bypassing that and not being worried about that or praying about that. But the reality is this, if I had any place to live in this world, it'd be in America. And I'm grateful for it. But as Jeff said, we really need Jesus. And so you'll hear about that as the sermon goes on. So last week we talked in this series of Hashtag Struggles. It's very difficult to live this Christ-centered life in this self-centered world. It really is difficult to do that. And last week we talked about contentment, and I shared with you a little more openly that I like to share with you, that I really struggle with contentment in my life. I struggle with it big time. And sometimes there's seasons where I have a hard time finding peace and joy. And it's not necessarily because I compare myself to others or because I want what they have. It's the fact that I continue to set goals and I'm never satisfied with where we are. And I want to be somewhere else always. I want to be somewhere else always. And so we said this, if you continue to compare yourself to other people, if you continue to compare yourself to what others have, it's going to be really hard to be content in life. It's going to be really hard to be satisfied when we live this life where we don't find the joy that God has given us in today, if we find the abundant life that God has given us today, if we're always looking or searching for something more. So many people live this dissatisfied and discontented life. And so what we challenge you to do is what Paul challenged you to do. And Paul said this, hey, I've learned the secret to being content. He said, in the midst of any circumstance that you're faced within life, he said, I've learned the secret sauce to contentment. And the secret sauce to contentment is found in Jesus. And he said, whether I have a ton to eat or whether I don't have anything on my plate, I've learned to be content. And he said, this is because of Jesus. And he said this in Philippians chapter 4, right after he said the verses about saying, I've learned this to be satisfied in the situation I'm in. He said this, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The secret sauce is Jesus and what Jesus can do in us and through us. This week, we're going to talk about authenticity. All right, so as we start, I want you to like take the mask that you're wearing, and I'm not talking about for COVID-19 mask. I'm talking about in life, and I want you to be willing to just adjust that and maybe even take it off today, okay? We're going to have you turn to your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And as we talk about authenticity, we have to look at society. And one of the forces of society today is a thing called social media. I'm sure that some of you have heard of that, right? And so we see social media, and social media in this world today has a way of influencing the way we think and the way we perceive this world. It influences the way we perceive one another and the way we interpret what's going on around the world. Social media has played a huge role in all of this. But here's the problem. It's the way that other people paint pictures of themselves. It's the way that we paint pictures of ourselves. Is it truly an accurate picture of who we are? Are we really being authentic in our life? And the reason why I'm talking about authenticity is this, is because sometimes when we live this fake, pseudo kind of life, it doesn't necessarily help us and it doesn't necessarily help other people. See, we can paint whatever picture we want. We can craft whatever image we want in society. but it doesn't make it accurate, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's helpful. So we make ourselves look better than sometimes than we are, and we make other people look worse than they really are. I'm intrigued, even our society today on social media, as they impact this world, I find it interesting that they start blocking posts and taking down articles. I really find that interesting. So you have microbiologists saying one thing, you have another microbiologist saying something totally different, and who deems that one's right and one's wrong? People have similar positions. You're blocking posts and blocking articles. And I just find it interesting that social media has influenced our world in such a way. And I'm not even making a political statement. A thinking person would just go, huh, that's interesting. Have you gotten so frustrated with social media that you finally came to a place in your life where you're going, I am so done with this? And some of you may have shut your account down. Some of you may quit looking at it. Some of you have taken the app off your phone. Because you're saying, like, when I watch it, I am just so tired and weary of the negativity, of the mean-spirited things that are being said, of the fighting that's going on. Have you been so frustrated that you have sometime at some place jumped off social media? Just raise your hand. Like, have you ever jumped off social media and said, I'm just sick of it? Online, you can give like a thumbs up if you're saying, like, we jumped off for sure. I have never jumped off social media because it's too much of an avenue to talk to you guys, right? But there are times I go days and even a week. So if you message me, I apologize. I really don't watch it a lot anymore because I get really weary of it. Whether you have a social media account or not, you say, this sermon's not for me. I want you to know that it has impacted our society, whether you have one or not, because your family members are on it, your friends are on it, your coworkers are on it. And if you listen to conversations, so much is said, oh, I heard this and I heard that and this happened. I can't believe it. Where'd you see that? On social media. That it has to be right, right? If you see it on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok, it has to be accurate. It has to be. I want you to know this, though, please. I'm not demonizing social media. I don't even think it's evil. I think it just reveals the evil of society. I love it when you guys post pictures of your vacations. Well, not all of them. I really don't want to see your toes at a beach, all right? I'm just being honest, right? Like, I don't care. Like, it's like, hey, look, I'm poolside. Look at my toes. I don't want to see them. And don't, online or here, do not tag me in your toe post. I don't want to see your toes. But really, yeah, okay, I got to get back to the script, right? So, hey, but like when you go out west, like people, they use social media to tell people how much they're enjoying life. And when I see posts when you guys are in Yellowstone Park or at a national monument, like I love those posts. I go through and I stalk you. It's like, oh, they're in Yellowstone. And I love looking at the animals and the mountains. And like, I love that stuff. Social media also has been used in an amazing way to let other people know how much Jesus means to you. I love when people come on and say, hey, I want you to know, it's been an interesting week for me, but God is using this verse in my life today. And I'm being encouraged, I'm being challenged, I'm being lifted up because of this truth. Some people put inspirational quotes, and I love to see quotes from the past, and I love history. But I also love to see like links to podcasts and to sermons that someone's been challenged by. So please, I'm not demonizing today social media. I just want you to know that sometimes it reveals who we really are in our hearts. So how has social media impacted your life? How has it influenced you when it comes to time management? How has it shaped your view of this world? How has it shaped your view of other people? And frankly, how have you used it to shape your image? And if I looked at your post, would it be an image that is truly authentic and real? Or would it be something that's fake? Would it be this personification of something that you hope to be, not someone who you really are? And if we're not authentic in our Christian journey, I think a couple things happen. If we're not authentic with who we are, There's a place where people will look at us differently. They won't look at the real us. They look at the one that we've manufactured online. And there are times, let's just be honest, folks, there are times that we need other people to encourage us as we walk through this life. But there's times that God uses some of our difficulty as a platform to serve others and ultimately to bring glory to Him. So let me ask you this question again. How do we live a Christ-centered life in a self-centered world? How do we go from making social media a place where we glorify ourselves and instead of using social media as a way to glorify God? Today, we are going to be talking about authenticity. And we're going to talk about the profiles that you've created in life, whether you're on social media or not. And is it an accurate view of who you are? See, we can filter our images, can't we? Some of you have learned to filter your image. And when I see you online, there's no wrinkles, right? And somehow it's like we're wrinkle-free and we look a lot younger. I'm not asking people to air their dirty laundry. That is not what I'm asking for at all. But I'm also saying this. Please don't paint a picture that's not accurate or pretend you. If I was able to take each of you one-on-one and I would look at your social media posts and you would meet with me for 10 minutes and I pulled back the curtain of your life, the real you, how different would your image online be from the real you? Because when we pull back the curtains, oftentimes this is what we find. We find people who are hurting. We find people that are broken. We find people that are just shamed. We feel who are discouraged, who live with anxiety. We find people who are going through all kinds of difficulties. And they hide behind the curtain. They hide behind the mask. Today, I want you to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you've not done that. And we're going to tie together kind of the covenant that God made with his people Israel in the gospel message. We're going to tie that together from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and then also we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 34. God made a promise to the people of Israel, but God made a promise to us as well. So as the Apostle Paul goes through this, he said, I want you to understand that we have a mission. And the mission is this, to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we do that by what we say, and we do that by the way we live. And this is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put on a veil over his face, prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Now, we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 34. Isn't it interesting we're talking about masks today, right? Like, this was not planned. This is not a political statement. But what we're talking about is, as we talk about masks today, is that Moses had to put on a mask. And for us to understand it, we got to go back to Exodus chapter 34 and see what unfolded. In Exodus chapter 34, the Israelites had come out of Egypt. They had been in slavery for a long period of time, for hundreds of years. Through 10 plagues, eventually Pharaoh said, okay, you can go. Just leave Israel. They leave, cross the Dead Sea. On their way to the Promised Land, they stop at the foot of Mount Sinai. At Sinai, they camp there. Moses walks up into the mountain, and he meets with God face to face. As he starts talking to God, God gives him these guidelines, the way that he wants the people to live. In the process, he says this, I want to reaffirm to you this, that I am your God, I am leading you, I love you, I have authority over you, I'm giving you these commands because I think this is what's best for you. So he goes through this entire time with God. It's this life-changing experience for Moses. Moses walks down off the mountain with these tablets, with the Ten Commandments. The Israelites are standing there going, hey, here comes Moses. And when Moses draws near, this is what happens in Exodus chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid. They were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. So when he walks down off this mountain, the Israelites are watching and go, whoa, what happened to Moses? He looks different coming down off the mount than going back than when he went up. He was so radiant that they freaked out, and they said, man, like, Moses, you stay over there, okay? We're not sure we're all that excited about what went on in your life. But Moses would share this information with them. And I'm sitting there going, man, I wonder what was different about Moses. Wouldn't it have been cool to be there and look at that and look at the glory of God shining through him? Wouldn't that be awesome to see Moses? But the Israelites were going, no, this is a scary thing. So I don't know what Moses looked like, but I know what you guys look like when God gets a hold of your life and changes you. Have you ever watched God transform someone's life? And you see people who come in, and they come in with a certain countenance, a certain demeanor. Sometimes they're angry people, they're bitter people, they're not happy people, they're sad, they feel empty, and all of a sudden, Jesus changes them, and you see their countenance soften, and you see their perspective on life change. It's really cool to see God transform people's lives. And I could see it now. I can't imagine what it was like for Moses when he met with God face to face. When we spend time in God's word, when we spend time praying, when we spend time worshiping privately, when we spend time worshiping corporately, it should make a difference in your life. Your countenance should be different, right? Because God has done something in you and he's done something through you. It'd be interesting. If we went to the places you work, if we went to your neighbors, to your family, and we asked this question, man, have you outwardly seen in any way the presence of God in their life? Have you seen the transformation take place where no one's perfect, no one has arrived, but God continues to change them in such a way that it's evident in who they are and in their countenance. It goes on in verse 33 and says this. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. So this is what Moses did. Okay, this is scaring everybody around him. And so what we're going to do is, every time I talk to you guys, I'm going to come to you, I'm going to put a veil over my face, because you know why? Because I don't want you to see evidence of the glory of God working in me and through me. I don't want you to see his presence in me in any way. The Israelites did not understand what happened with Moses. And so Moses took a mask and covered him up. In this season, we put masks on to try to keep him from something that is bad. In that season, he puts a mask over his face to cover up what was really good. It's amazing to me that the Israelites had such a problem with the presence of God that they said, Moses, cover it up, man. I don't want to see it. But when you've had your lives transformed by Christ, how many times have you had people saying, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to. Just keep that stuff to yourself. I want you to know that because of Jesus, we don't have to cover this up. There's a place where we can be authentic, we can remove the veils, and people can see the presence of God in us and through us. It's not that we're perfect, it's the fact of saying this, I'm in process and God is working on me. Sometimes we're afraid to admit both good and bad what God is doing, or what's happening in our lives. Do you understand that everyone in this room has issues? I can see it right now. Like online, let's be honest. Who's perfect? Why are we so afraid to admit that, man, sometimes life doesn't go as we expected? Why are we so afraid to admit that sometimes we don't have all of our ducks in a row, as they say? We are all in process. We live in a fallen world. We live with sinful people. And frankly, you are a sinful person. And what we need is Jesus, right? And so we're going through this process. Why are we so afraid to admit that we're in process? Sometimes we're even hesitant to admit when God's working in us and through us. God is changing your life, and for whatever reason, we're embarrassed, right? It says in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power to transform lives. Why are we so reluctant? I think when we put a veil over our face in any way, good or bad, we're kind of going in Moses' camp, right? And so here's the first thing I want you to think about this morning. What veil are you wearing? Good or bad? What veil are you wearing? What mask are you wearing? What point of your life are you covering up? Is there something that you're hiding? Is there something that you're pretending? Are you pretending that you're something you're not? Again, I'm not asking you to wear your dirty laundry, right? Like, I'm not asking you to hang it out there for everybody to see it. I'm just saying this. Are we really supposed to be out there and say, hey, I have nothing wrong? And we paint this picture, we craft this picture that's not authentic. I see pictures of people online. I hear their stories. And all of a sudden, I'll get a phone call and say, can we meet? And so I meet with them, and I look at their lives. Man, it looks amazing. Like, their kids are incredible. You know, they're student of the month. They just got a new truck. Everything's wonderful. They have picnics and parties, and things are going on. And like, yay! And when I meet with them in my office, it's like, wow. That's not what I saw online. Again, I don't expect you to use social media as a tool to share all your flaws. But is it really fair that we put out this pseudo you? It's not really you. What's wrong with saying this? You know what? This has been a really, 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 really hard week. And I'm grateful that God gave me this scripture. And it kind of put wind in my sails today. It gave me confidence and it gave me hope. Some people take social media and they use it as an avenue. And man, they use it to vent any thought that they have in their head. There are people who, with thought and with prayer, say, you know what? There are things that I see that I'd like to make a statement. But there's other people that, man, it just comes out as rage. It comes out of frustration. It comes out sounding pretty bitter. And my question is this, how does that help? How does that help in the mission of making more and better disciples of Jesus Christ? Are we about trying to influence people or are we about being right, right? So the question is this, does anybody know the real you? What veil are you wearing? Because when you wear a veil, here's what happens. If you're going through a difficult time, if you're going through a challenging time, and you sit there and say, my life is completely perfect, you don't give people an opportunity to come in and have a ministry in your life. And in another way, in some ways, you paint a picture to say, if you're having problems in your life, man, something's wrong with you because I've never had those problems. Second question is this. Is the veil that covers your face will eventually cover your heart. This is not the statement of this. Do you know the real you? Here's the statement. Do you know the real you? There are times that we paint this picture of ourselves online that we become so lacking of self-awareness. We become so delusional that we start believing our own press clippings. We start painting this picture that's not necessarily accurate of who we are and where we stand before Christ. Eventually, us covering it up here eventually covers our heart. When we lack self-awareness and when we flirt with delusion, it's really hard to live an authentic life. Someone once said, and we're not sure who said it, if you are trying to be someone else, one of you is irrelevant. If you're trying to be someone else, one of you is irrelevant. God created you on purpose for a purpose. And what does God want? The TikTok you, the Instagram you, the Facebook you? Or does he want the real you? Sometimes you guys have a difficult time opening up because of the things that you've gone through in your life. You've been hurt. People have taken shots at you. People have ignored you. And you have based your value on what other people are saying. And I want to encourage you today to base your value on what Jesus says you are. He backed it up when he sent Christ to the cross to say you have a value. Here's what he goes on in 2 Corinthians and says, verse 13 and on, we are not like Moses who would put on a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He's saying this, you know what? I'm not asking to be Moses to cover it up. I want you to know because of Christ, the veil has been removed. In today's day and age, I'm intrigued by the church and by society. Somehow we've become somewhat narcissistic as the church. That we believe that we can change society by the posts that we make on social media. We believe if we talk enough stuff that we're going to change this world. And I want you to be completely, I want to make this known to you and that there's no mistake. I'm not changing this world, and you're not going to change this world. The only thing that's going to change this world is Jesus Christ. In the day and age where we have so much stuff going on around our society, and people want everybody to make statements about everything else, we have people saying, you should make a statement. As lead pastor of Bridgewater, you should make a statement. And I said this, here's my statement. Jesus Christ changes people. No. You don't understand. You've got to make a statement. Hey, listen to me. I want you to all listen to me, okay? Our statement as a church has been this, and it will remain this. Jesus Christ is the only one who will change the society, and he's the only one that will change people for history. Period. That's a statement this church needs to stand on. And we need to start preaching that message. If we spend more time posting about the way Jesus has changed our lives, if we continue to be true to the message of Christ, I want you to know that has more of a way of changing life than you posting some pithy statement and hoping it's going to convert this world. Online, you, here's my statement, okay, about everything that's going on in our society today. The only one who's going to change anything or anybody is Jesus Christ. And we have preached him for 200 years at Bridgewater. And if God gives us breath for the next 200 years, we will continue to preach Jesus. That is my commitment. That is my statement. Here's what happens. You're sinful people online and in the auditorium. But this is what my statement is. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to do what? To forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's my statement. You want to know my statement? If you're hurting, broken, you feel alone, he says this. Here's my statement. He said he will comfort you. He will be your strength. He will be your high tower. He will be everything that you need in this life. That's my statement. Folks, if you want a statement, go to the Word of God and say, this is my statement. No. You have to pick a position. Yeah, this is my position. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we will continue to preach that message for the future. That's my statement. If you feel alone, he will comfort you. And what I want to do is grab hold of the one who says this in the Gospel of James. He will lead us into a place where we're perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. What's more important, that you have thousands of followers or that the one who created this world you're in relationship with? What's more important? Here's what it says in verse 18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Here's what I want my Facebook page to be, my Instagram page, my TikTok, my Snapchat. This is what I want it to be. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner that day by day am trying to become less like this world and more like Jesus. That's my statement. That's my profile. I've not arrived. I don't think you've arrived. And what the world doesn't need now is a fake you. They need an authentic you. And authenticity is this. We're all on a journey. We're at different places in this journey, but we're all on the journey of becoming less like this world, more like Jesus. Don't be afraid to let people know that you haven't arrived yet, because it's not a secret. We're all sinners with the mission of pointing other sinners to Jesus. That's our mission. God, help us as we continue to proclaim you, that we do it in an authentic way, that we let other people know that sometimes life is hard. Sometimes we feel like we're winning, and sometimes we feel like we've lost. But in all of it, you've never left us. You've never forsaken us. We can always lean on you. We can trust on you. We can count on you. You're always there. And I pray that as we present ourselves to you, we present ourselves in a way that is accurate. When we're wrong, we're willing to say we're sorry. Father, when we're right, we're willing to give you the praise for it. God, I hope that our goal in life is not to prove that we're right. It's just to make a difference. God, use us. We ask in your Son's name.